For MeatPoultry.com, I'm Erica Schaefer, Senior Digital Media Editor. Welcome back to the Meat and Poultry Podcast, where we continue our conversation with Bob Langert, former Vice President over Sustainability at McDonald's and author of The Battle to Do Good, McDonald's Sustainability Journey. The power of partnerships and characteristics of the best partners for business were the topics of part two of my conversation with Mr. Langert. So in this final episode, social media is the elephant in the room and on the side of the consumer. Langert talks about what this means for businesses trying to establish a corporate identity, and he shares some hard-knock nuggets of advice for businesses trying to address social issues. How has social media affected McDonald's and really most companies' response to criticism of animal welfare or sourcing practices, for example?
Well, I think the internet in general has been probably the number one stimulus for corporate social responsibility as a whole, because it's made everything transparent to everybody. I just remember back in the old days, when I started working on this in the late 80s, early 90s, we didn't even know in our own system if the UK was doing something related to animal treatment that was different in the United States. We didn't even have that knowledge necessarily. So now, with one little push of the button, a consumer can start a campaign. For instance, I think it's really interesting that somebody started a campaign that the play areas for McDonald's weren't clean enough. One person started that campaign, and before you know it, it became, a really big movement, and, McDonald's needed to recognize that the play places need to be cleaner. So the power of the internet, the power to connect, the ability of one person to make a change, the ability to get consumers educated behind an issue. I mean, it's one thing to say that the pigs shouldn't be in a gestation stall, or the laying hens are too tight in the cages. It's another thing when that message gets sent around to thousands, if not millions, of people, with videos and pictures that convey that couldn't have been done, a couple of decades ago. And so I think that's forcing companies to act more. Because I always said, in my time at McDonald's, we should be working on this, all the things. If we're not comfortable with something being on the front page of the New York Times, in videos or photographs being shared about whatever's in the McDonald's system or supply system, if we're not comfortable with that, we should change it.
I had a conversation last year with Barry Carmichael, co-author of Reset, in which she and her co-author make the case that social media has fundamentally changed the relationship between consumers and business because, as you said, one consumer can start a campaign with the press of a button. So how does this environment impact a company's ability to define itself and its message when any number of people can set something in motion that could change how your company is viewed in the public eye?
Well, the internet and social media has taken away the power of a company to define itself and its brand. It doesn't mean that the company can't be involved, but now the brands are being positioned by social media. And so companies need to recognize they don't have ownership over that anymore. It's a shared ownership. And the better companies are looking at it and saying, well, rather than going back and forth and, as I said before, let's tell our story and let's send out press releases, that's anybody that's doing that is going to lose the battle to define who they are. So, I think it takes very sophisticated marketing and communications people to work with these sustainability teams to properly protect the brand so that the agenda isn't just taken over by people, especially the activist agenda. So companies need to be very active on social media. They need to know how to communicate in a humble way and share progress, have a dialogue. It's two-way. And, I think it's probably one of the biggest changes of everything. Because, the biggest driver for McDonald's, for example, to create a strategic framework for sustainability that I mentioned in 2014 was the effort to improve brand health. So, you know, there's every attack of a company not doing the right thing is tearing away at the brand health of that company. And that the brand is so important to companies like McDonald's, they're going to do everything they can to enhance that brand. And it's a combination of taking actions. I think actions are way more important than words. So I think the actions that companies take are most important, but then how you communicate them in a way that connects with your consumers and stakeholders in a good, positive, humble way is a very much an art that needs to be learned more.
What do you say to people who believe that corporations, big business, has no business taking positions on social issues?
Yeah, I think, you know, businesses have a responsibility to address the key issues in their business that connect with society and take a stand on it. So, no, I don't think companies should be involved, you know, willy-nilly, you know, with all the different social issues, but where your business connects, you know. So for McDonald's, for example, McDonald's is known as a company that's a beef burger company, right? Beef does have a big impact. I mean, livestock within McDonald's carbon footprint is 75% of its carbon footprint. McDonald's is taking a stand on climate change and reducing its carbon footprint. And I think that's a smart thing to do. Now, you know, other people would say, hey, who's McDonald's? I mean, there are people that don't like that. But I admire the companies that are taking a stand on things that matter for both the business and society. And I think it's very important that they base that work, you know, on science, you know, versus just kind of easy public relations.
At the end of the chapters of The Battle to Do Good, you offer your takeaways from your experiences. So what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
Well, two things that I hope the reader gets out of my book. You know, at one level, I really want people, a broad range of people, to read the book and understand what goes behind a big company, a big brand, how decisions are made, and how companies, you know, wrestle with doing good, you know, for business, doing good for society, how they interact, and just kind of the real world. Because one of the things that I realized, my biggest complaint to McDonald's from all the people that worked at McDonald's is that we felt that people didn't understand what we did. So I hope my book sheds light to the common reader about what happens. I think at a more focused level, I think companies are still struggling to balance growing their business and dealing with these societal issues. And I think the hard knock nuggets is what I call them in the book, you know, that I share along the way. I think companies need to get on board, you know, sooner versus later. They need to develop this strategic framework, work with stakeholders, develop goals. And I think the lessons learned from McDonald's, both our successes and failures and our struggles, is really good learning for people today in business to lead their companies, their organizations, and for NGOs to read the book to know how they could proactively work with companies to make a difference.
If there's a sequel to this book, what's it going to be about?
If I were to write again, it's going to be a very, I'd like to write a positive book about positive steps that companies are taking and lead by example. You know, currently I'm an editor-at-large for GreenBiz, and I write a regular column, and I'm just determined to not deal with negativity and polarization and fighting each other. And I think even in the food industry, sometimes it's like, why are retailers and farmers not getting along better? So I'd like to dig deeper into that and dig deeper into the proper way, and maybe to look at sustainable food and ag and feature some of the success stories.
That's the show for this week. Next week,
the most important thing is it is representative of the new era of state-of-the-art pork processing facilities.
That's Bob Sims, features editor for Meat and Poultry Magazine. And he's talking about Prestige Foods of Iowa, the new super pork processing plant operated by Prestige Farms. Prestige Foods of Iowa began hog slaughter under USDA inspection in March this year. And the 700,000 square foot facility houses some of the most advanced pork processing technology around. Meat and Poultry got a first look inside the plant, and Ryan McCarthy, associate digital media editor, sat down with Bob to talk about it. We hope you'll listen in to learn more about this awesome facility. For more podcasts and the latest news from the meat and poultry industry, head to our website, www.meatpoultry.com. And stay social with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching @meatpoultry. I'm Erica Schaefer. Thanks for listening.